This is Watch Mojo, and we're here with the top 50 NBA players.
I thought it was 60.
No. We lied. We made 60, we lied, but the real thing is the top 50. Mm-hmm. This is game 6. We're joined once again by Liam, our most recurring guest.
Yeah, for sure.
Most requested?
Most,
I think you meant to say?
Yeah. Most requested by far.
Yeah. Most requested to replace one of us, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. At the end of this, we're going to have a poll on our website that you guys can go to, and you can vote one of us off the island.
And you guys can't vote, right?
No, I can't vote. As a part of my soul, don't vote for anything.
I'll vote, but just because all elections are rigged, so why wouldn't this one be?
Facts.
yeah, I don't know. Not much news in the NBA. Gary Trent's a Buck.
Yeah, really good for the Bucks. Kind of fine for us. I mean, it would be nice to get value for him, but like whatever. I will lose no sleep over him. Yeah. Our organization has made much worse moves over the past few years, so who cares?
Oh, I'm pretty excited. I had a dream a few days ago. Like, legitimately, I had this dream that Philadelphia won a championship. So I think that's gonna happen. I'm gotta lock in that bet now.
For sure. They still have moves to make. They still have I feel like 5 roster spots. So they're gonna pick up some more people.
Lowry's on there again now.
Yeah, that happened too. Nice little backup point guard.
I mean,
ideally he doesn't have to start for them come playoff time like he did last year. Hopefully they're healthy enough.
He's all right. Maybe you get some. Yeah, no, he shouldn't start.
He'll be less all right. Yeah, if he was a bench player, he'd be fine. But as a starter, it was a little rough.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to just jump right into the list?
Yeah, let's just go right into the list. So we all put together our top 60s, actually, so that we could get some more points for everyone. And basically, I compiled the list. I put all of our equally weighted, all of our opinions, and then made a list out of it.
That was a mistake.
Huh? Very few ties, but my tiebreaker was the middle person. So take out the two outliers, whatever the middle ranking is who wins of the two people. And then there was no second tiebreaker needed after that. That broke up all the ties.
So meaning if Pascal and Randall are tied between two people, then the third person, whoever had them higher, is that how it works?
Yeah, well, basically they all get points in inverse of whatever their ranking is. So the first place person gets 60, points, the second place person gets 59,
right.
The 30th place gets 31.
Okay.
And essentially, if those points are tied, then you take away the whoever thinks highest and whoever thinks lowest of the player, and whoever that middle ranking is, that ranking, whoever has the higher of the two. Because there's some people where there's big outliers on it, where two of us will be about the exact same, and then one person will be way off. And I think it's more accurate, especially if there's a tie, to just go towards the two people that are closer to the same.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. I like that.
How many people submitted the list?
Three.
Just us three.
We thought about getting Trollio for it, but honestly, it was hard enough wrangling you for this, Matt. So.
Fair enough. Like, the day I submitted it, the next day we did the podcast.
Yeah. So we'll start at the bottom of the honorable mentions with Naz Reid and Miles Turner. Those are both of your 60th place people. And Naz Reid wins the Gage Jones Award for worst pick of anybody here.
Oh, wow.
The 60th man of the year.
I know.
The Jokic stopper? You're so biased,
I believe
bro.
He's
it's unreal.
I believe he's the
I'm
only...
I'm compiling this next time.
Okay, go for it. I believe he's the only player on any of our lists that didn't start the majority of games last season. I like Naz Reid a lot.
He should start.
Manu Ginobili didn't start, okay?
Yeah. Manu Ginobili, Naz Reid is not. Anyway, we go up to somebody
Manu
who...
I didn't see Manu lock up Jokic.
And Naz Reid was your 60th, Anthony, and Miles Turner was Fitz's 60th. And then Fitz's 59th, who neither of us had, is... Jaden McDaniels, who, when I saw that on Fitz's list, after already seeing it, these lists, locked in the fact that Naz Reid is my least favorite pick. by the way, also for the listeners at home, I have no picks on my list that one of these two guys didn't pick themselves, so I can guarantee not win worst pick on
whatever.
The entire thing.
Whatever, man.
Says the guy who fucking scored it. Right?
I know.
And then there's Zach LaVine.
Recount.
Zach LaVine, who only Anthony went for. at 56th. When I saw Zach LaVine, I was like, maybe I could have figured out a way to get him onto my list. I feel like it's just, like, recency. Like, he hasn't been... Like, he had a kind of injury-plagued season last year and also wasn't that good on top of it. I feel like if he was healthy, he'd be good. But, like, that Chicago team, even when he plays a lot of games, doesn't win a whole lot of games. And I don't even think that the roster around him is, like, that bad. But whatever. Zach LaVine deserves to be an honorable mention, like, for sure.
I didn't even think of him at the time.
Then there's Darius Garland.
It sounds like a lot of my picks are ending up here.
Then there's Darius Garland, who Anthony didn't have at all. And I had at 59, and Liam had at 58.
Love that.
Cool, whatever. Then Fred VanVleet, who Anthony had 55. Neither me nor Liam had. Then there's Chris Middleton. I had at 58. Liam had at 55. Anthony did not have. Then we start to get into players that all of us had. Franz Wagner, I had at 54. Anthony had 59. And Liam had at 56. Aaron Gordon, I was my 60th man. Ooh. Anthony did not have at all. Liam had him at 47. He was a top 50 player for Fitz, which...
Yeah,
you know, based. Is a thing that happened.
So when there was a tiebreaker, did you just remove my pick?
Honestly, once we get to the main list, it's usually Fitz. It's the outline in general.
Okay.
Draymond Green, I had at 53. Anthony at 54. Liam had not on his list at all.
Trayzilla didn't make it.
Whatever. Evan Mobley, I had at 57. Anthony at 58. Liam had at 46.
Okay.
So, like...
Likes defense.
So, like, you've watched him and Jared Allen both play for this Cleveland team last year, right?
No.
Well, also, like, Evan Mobley's there, but Draymond didn't make your list?
Yeah, dude. Draymond sucks ass, bro. All right.
Then there's LaMelo Ball, who I had at 46th, and both of you had at 57.
Based.
Yeah, understandable. He was pretty hurt last year.
But, Zach LaVine.
And, yeah, doesn't drive winning that much. Then there's Cade Cunningham, who I had at 55, Anthony had at 42, and Liam did not have on his list at all.
Oh, that's why you texted me, you're high on Cade Cunningham.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then Jared Allen, who I had at 56. I kind of baited you guys with that, because when I redid my list, he dropped a little bit, because he was a little higher when we were first talking about
this. You were like, oh, make a top 50 players list, just so you know, Jared Allen's my number 50, just as, like, to set the bar.
Liam thought that was based, because he kept him at 50, you Anthony had him at 52.
He told me he had Jared Allen 50, I was like, oh, you two might have the same list.
Yeah, we might be the exact same.
And then we have OG Anunoby, who I had at 52, and Anthony had at 50, and Liam had at 54. And that's all of the players who didn't actually make the top 50. Those are our honorable mentions.
Interesting. Okay. So he'd be 51.
Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, he's 51st. And now we can talk about these players. At 50, we have Desmond Bane. Liam, you had him highest on your list. What do you like about Desmond Bane? You have him at 48.
He's a fucking fantasy goblin. He got me so many points. I love him. He's a big man. He's very muscular.
Okay. I was going to say, he's like one of the only NBA players with a negative wingspan. Yeah.
He's like a better version of Dylan Brooks, and I like Dylan Brooks.
That's
an insane comp. I had him at 50.
He's a good
player. Anthony had him at 53. What I like about Desmond Bane is he's always been a really good three-point shooter. And last year, with like not that much on his team around him at all, he still kept a decent amount of efficiency. And so I think the shooting is real, and I think he's only really going to look better with Ja on his team this year.
He's really gotten his points up. Oh, yeah. And been it's like 2 years of that now, so very consistent.
Shoots well. Good guy. Then we have.
Do you know him personally?
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's
great
a
guy. He's great
got,
guy.
He's got a beautiful soul. at 49, we have DeJounte Murray. Anthony, you have him the highest at 47. So what do you like about DeJounte Murray? What makes him a top 50 player?
DeJounte Murray is fantastic at scoring, at playmaking, and at defense. And that's what you want from your point guard.
Mm-hmm. And he's clutch. He can make a clutch shot.
He's decently clutch.
His defense.
I mean, like, he hasn't been in big games. It's hard to, like, really judge how clutch he is.
Yeah, that's fair. But when he was the guy when Trey wasn't around, he was clutch enough to be the guy on that team in late game situations. He had some clutch shots.
Where is he now?
He's in New Orleans, officially.
Oh, yeah.
very recently in New Orleans.
Right. That'll be fun. Yeah, very weird for a young player to be bouncing around this much. I think I might have said that when we were covering the trade, but yeah, it's just so strange.
It makes no sense.
All defense is a rookie, right?
Yeah. Oh, wow. And then he tore his ACL and then came back and then was an all-star. Jesus. But you had him at 47, Anthony. I had him at 51. Liam had him at 52. And at 48 is Jaren Jackson Jr. And once again, Liam's the highest on these Memphis boys. Yep. He had him at 44. I had him at 47. Anthony had him at 51. What do you like about Jaren Jackson Jr., Liam? What's the what's your reason for having him the highest of all of them?
He's a fantasy goblin. He got
points. He's reading from a script.
Great shot blocker, right? He won Defensive Player of the Year, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
I like his name.
Sir Marcus Smart, where is he on yours? No, I'm just kidding. Jaren Jackson's good.
Oh, yeah, he's a Memphis boy. I should have had him up there, honestly. I didn't even think of him.
Yeah, I mean, like, Jaren Jackson Jr., I feel like he's
got
one of those
a nice midi.
He's one of those players who it almost feels like people talk about his shortcomings more than they talk about, like, the things that he's really good at this point in his career. Just because, like, I mean, he can't, like, you need a five to play with him, and that's, like, no fault.
And he was marketed as a stretch big when he's really not, like, a good, like, he's an okay shooter.
Yeah, he can't really shoot, he can't really rebound, but the defensive versatility alone is basically the reason that he's here. I mean, he won a DPOY, and very deservingly so, and he can up his level at any time. Yeah, and he's serviceable enough offensively that... good. He's good at 48.
Yeah, I mean, we love him, too. He, like, he carried Canada to a bronze medal.
Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Yeah, he's the reason that we were actually able to score. Now look at the U.S. when they have real shot blockers.
Oh, my God, man.
Damn, I forgot he was on that team.
At number 47, we have DeMar DeRozan. I had him at 45. Anthony had him at 44. And Liam had him at 51. What do you like about DeMar, Anthony? Why is he a top 50 player in the NBA?
He's top 50 player because he plays the game the right way. He doesn't hunt threes and just runs around just chucking shots up. He's an absolute god when it comes to shooting the mid-range. I mean, he's still one of the most clutch players. Didn't he win the inaugural Clutch Player of the Year award?
Yeah, and I bet you he was top three last year as well. I mean, him and Steph Curry are basically the two guys who were hitting all the like clutch shots last year. It felt like Dame had some clutch shots. De'Aaron Fox is always fairly clutch, but yeah, DeRozan, I mean, he's one of those guys that you can just give him the ball with like 8 seconds left on the shot clock and you're never gonna get a bad shot out of it. He'll take tough shots, but he's a tough shot maker, and that's super valuable in the NBA, even if he doesn't stretch the floor as much as you want him to.
Did I have Chris Middleton over Debo? I might need to rethink this list.
No, you did not have Chris Middleton over D.
Wait. How married are you to your list, Gage?
Not super married. Okay. I can be moved off my list a little bit.
Yeah. I'm also not like super married to my list. I just want to preface that.
Mine is objective.
Here's the master copy, the answer sheet.
There's some people that we're gonna get to where like, what were you thinking? But we'll get to those people.
Like, let me defend my point.
Okay,
Jimmy Butler, top five.
The next person. the next person you did have highest of any of us, so you do have to defend, that is Alperen Sengun, who I had at 48, Anthony had at 49, and you had at 42.
The Gooner.
So then he comes in at 46. What do you like about the Gooner?
Just like his game, man. You know, plays the game the right way.
I already used that.
He's like a mini Jokic out there, you know. I love it. I love his style.
I think they literally call him Baby Jokic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. He's a fun player to watch. I just enjoy watching him.
Yeah, I mean, I also think he's really good. Like, the reason he fell on my list is, like, I think he's, like, really kind of carried that his, like, he kind of is a more of a lackluster team. I just think he needs the ball too much, and he's not quite good enough. But, I mean, like, he just does a lot of the things you want from a player. So, like, I had to put him in the top 50.
Yeah, I mean, those points are well stated, Anthony. The thing I will say about him is that, like, he was the hub of an offense last year of a team that won 42 games. And, like, 42 games isn't going to knock your socks off. But the hub of an offense who wins 42 games just deserves a spot in the top 50.
Yeah, 100%.
And I do, as I said, your point, like, I don't know what the ceiling is on him. I guess, like if you were, like, a real optimist, you'd be like, well, look at Jokic. Like, it's the same kind of play style. But I see more of Sabonis, kind of, in Şengün. Yeah. And I still don't know what the ceiling is on a Sabonis team. And he is, like, in his absolute peak. Sabonis last year feels like the best version of that kind of player. And even that Kings team was, like, okay.
Fine. Yeah.
Moving on to a different center that, once again, Liam is higher on than the rest of us, but we're all pretty close on, is Chet Holmgren.
Well, Liam is a big man, so that makes sense. And all these skill big men, because he refused to go near the basket.
I had Holmgren at 49. Anthony had him at 45, which is where he lands on this list. Mm. And Liam had him at 41.
Honestly, got robbed of Rookie of the Year. Like, should have got it. Yeah, he was a contributing player on the best team in the league starting. So, I don't know. I agree.
I don't know how Wemby's, like, hasn't been said yet.
So is Boston not the best team in the league because they won the most games in the regular season, or not the best team in the league because they won the most games in the playoffs, or not the best team in the league because they, like, lost, what, four games in the whole playoff?
If Chet Holmgren was on that team instead of Jaylen Brown, they win every single game.
They sweep the finals. Has any team ever swept the finals? Or swept the playoffs?
No.
Team swept the, Shaq and Kobe, are they the only team to only lose one?
No, the Durant Warriors, their first year. Only lost one.
Damn, okay.
To LeBron? Oh, no.
Yeah, to LeBron and Kyrie.
Damn, wow.
Good times.
Mm-hmm. So LeBron as good as AI, or vice versa. AI as good as LeBron.
I mean, like, Chet is good. One thing that I'm really happy about on here, and this is something that me and Liam agree with, but not Anthony, is that Jalen Williams is the second guy on OKC. And I think they're close on all of our lists. They're not too far apart from each other. But, I like Chet a lot. And I think that that young core, having three players in the top 50 is, like, I mean, like, it's great. Mm-hmm. And, like, Caruso, if somebody had him at 60th, like, I really wouldn't be that angry at
so
them.
So close. 61.
J-Dub was just so disappointed to me in the playoffs, and Chet was, like, really nice in the playoffs.
He was fine. The only thing is nobody watched the series, but he kind of got his lunch taken from Jonas Valanciunas in the first round. He was kind of getting bullied.
True.
Moving on next, we're just on a run of big men. Kristaps Porzingis, I had him at 42, Anthony had him at 46, Liam had him at 45. The thing with Porzingis is, like, when he was coming out and everyone was like, oh, this guy's a unicorn. Like shot blocking is maybe the most valuable thing you can do on defense, or at least rim protection is, and stretching the floor is maybe the most important thing you can do on offense, at least from, like, role player wise, without doing superstar things. And, like, Porzingis is such a high level at both of those that makes him, like, so valuable when he plays. And when he plays is the big, like, stipulation here. If he was an 80-game player and played always in the playoffs, he might be in our top, like, 35. But he drops down here to 44, which is still a respectable spot for him.
How many NBA champions can you name who have never played in the second or third round of the playoffs? Yeah,
that's honestly insane.
Only in first or in the finals,
that
guy.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he has a quick recovery, because he just had surgery and he'll be out for 6 months. But, like, when he played game one of the playoffs, like, that's what makes him onto a top 50 list. Like, you watch that game and you would be like, if you had never watched basketball before in your life and you watched that game, you'd be like, holy shit, this 7'3" monster who can literally shoot it from anywhere. Like, this guy has to be the best player in the league, right?
Well, especially that first quarter. Like, he had, like, literally, like, a god quarter.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Next, we've got Brandon Ingram at 43. This is going to be a explain yourself fit. Me and Anthony have him at 40th. Both of us do. Liam, you have him at 53. I'm going to flip it around this time. What makes Brandon Ingram not a top 50 player in the league?
What do you have him at?
He had him at 53.
Okay.
I don't know. I just, like, I kept moving him down the list, to be honest. Like, I kept looking at the other players on my list, and I just thought that they'd be better. Like, I value playoffs a lot, too, and I feel like he just never really shows up.
I also always feel like he constantly disappoints.
I did.
A couple of years ago?
Yeah, I did, but... Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when people are like, imagine you add Zion to this team, but I feel
true.
Like...
That's true, but like...
But, no, I kind of see where you're coming from, and that, like, I'm always disappointed by Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like, yeah.
Especially the Team USA stuff, where, like, he was just, like, ass. He also carried us to a bronze medal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, the thing with Brandon Ingram is, like, he's another guy who's such a good tough shot, like, creator. And, like, efficient enough from everywhere on the floor. Like, he's not going to ruin your offense. And he, like, had to be the guy on New Orleans for years. And they didn't, like, bottom out. And that alone is what makes him a top 50 player for me. But I could see why he would run down your list. Having him outside the top 50 is a little crazy, admittedly. But,
yeah, you know what? I'm just a hater.
Maybe you're a hater. And that's okay. It's okay hating on people. Next, we have Mikal Bridges at 42, who I had at 43. Anthony had him at 37, and Liam had him at 49. What do you like about Mikal Bridges? What makes him a top 40 player to you?
He's a top 40 player in that he, like, is one of the best defenders in the league. Proven, he has been to the finals, was good in that whole playoff run, and then, like, went and did his own thing, and then, like, just upped the score. And, like, he wasn't, like, incredible, but, like, he was pretty good on those Brooklyn teams, and he, like, kept them competitive, and... I really value like that he's one of the best perimeter defenders in the league and, like, super switchable.
Mm-hmm. I think he's gonna show his value a lot more in New York this year in a smaller role. Mm. I agree with all the role player stuff that you say. I kind of digressed from you in the his time in Brooklyn as the guy. It gave me a lot of, like, shades of Jeremy Grant when he was the guy in Detroit, where it's like, I guess.
Someone has to score?
Yeah, somebody has to score, but I never really was like, oh, yeah. Like, if they just put a better team around him, this team can even be a play-in team.
Yeah.
I thought it was... And even, like, by the end of that last year in Brooklyn, it was like Cam Thomas might even be a better first option than he is, which was crazy. And part of that is Cam Thomas looks really good, but I think that now that he's back in a role-player role, he'll probably be higher on my list next year than he is this year. I think him being a starring role kind of diminishes value to me a little bit.
I mean, he also literally hasn't missed an NBA game. That's pretty... That's sick.
Yeah, that is really nice. Cool. Well, that's interesting. Him and, like, OG Anunoby.
Right.
Like, who are now going to be teammates. True. But, like what is
that's
that?
Going to be a,
like,
fun team.
OG Anunoby, the highest paid Knick of all time.
Is he? Yeah. Is he really? Yeah. Oh, my God. And Brunson just got his extension, too.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow, that's insane. I did not know that. That is insane. Didn't make our list, though. The $40 million man who's not even a top 50 player in the league.
Isaiah Hartenstein makes more money than Julius Randle. That's another fun fact for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Julius Randle, 29 next year. Hartenstein, 30.
Oh, Jesus. That's
crazy. All right, at 41, right in front of Mikal Bridges. This is kind of fun because, like, they're kind of similar in some ways, is Jalen Williams, who I had at 41, Anthony had at 48, and Liam had at 39. We kind of already made our Williams thoughts vocal. Anything you want to add on Williams, Liam? You had them the highest.
He's just young and super talented. I don't know.
And like, a lot of it's the team that he's on. But like 42% from three on like six or seven attempts a game is nothing to scoff at. And switchability, like two through four defensively, is really nice. And I think his personal shot creation still needs to grow a little bit. The thing that really didn't move me off him that much in the playoffs is that you kind of got to remember this OKC team is really, really young. And a year two player isn't supposed to be that good come playoff time, especially when they're given second scoring option burden. Usually there's some growing pains there. Like Franz Wagner also was pretty bad in his first playoff run.
Did you mention Franz Wagner in the honorable mentions?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
yes, I did. I had him at 54, Franz Wagner.
Okay.
The GOAT. but yeah, good old Jalen Williams. Good for you.
J-Dub.
Now we're moving on to a player who we were just talking about. You guys both had him at 43. I had him at 38. That's Julius Randle. Julius Randle is a player who... I feel like I've said this for a lot of people, but he's a tough shot creator. He's a guy who really leverages his physicality on the offensive end and on the defensive end. And even though he's not like a plus-plus defender, like, you're not going to move him around on that end. And he's kind of got some real, like, post ability.
Yeah, but all he wants to do is shoot threes.
Yeah, I mean, like, his mid-range is so nice, and he could play make out of the mid-range. You could put him on the elbow. You can put him at the three-point line. You can mix an offense thing. I think that this New York team is better when he does play. And, yeah, I'm excited to see him with more weapons around him. And I feel like he could be, like, a 6-7 assist a game guy this year with Bridges and Anunoby and Brunson all sitting around the three-point line. And I would realistically give him, like... Maybe not 50-50 with Brunson ball handling roles, but I would like a 60-40 kind of deal. I think isn't that terrible of an idea, especially because I don't want to put too much stress on Brunson. I feel like last year was a very high intensity, stressful season, and especially playoffs for Brunson.
Mm-hmm. Especially for playoffs. Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, because he had no Randle.
He relied on him mm-hmm. a lot, yeah.
All right, now we're moving to number 39. I'm going to clear out for Anthony on this one, because it's James Harden, who I had at 44, and both of you had at 38. What makes James Harden at age, what is he, like 35?
Something like that.
Top 40 player in the NBA still.
The fact that, like, it's James Harden. Like, like, even though he's, like, he's not doing it every night, he's still is going to do James Harden things, and, like, I don't know. He's always been this good of a role player, but, like, he just had to score before, I feel like. And now, like, you're really seeing, like, the role player talents that, like, he's just, literally one of the best passers in the NBA, on top of one of the best shooters still. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, defensive liability, but a lot of these offensive guys are. So I give him a pass for that.
Yeah, like, the big thing with him is, the Paul George Kawhi Clippers were together for a while. What is it? They got a full 5 seasons together, and the offense never looked as good as it did when they added James Harden to that mix. And like both those other two guys are really great offensive players, and they have had lots of good offensive players around them over the years. But there's something about a James Harden offense that's like comfortable, and he really can make other players. Mm-hmm. He like elevates other even star players on his own team. I thought Embiid looked really good next to Harden. I thought Durant looked really good next to Harden. I thought Chris Paul looked really good next to Harden. I think that he's a real like star ceiling raiser, and that's super valuable, even at his advanced age.
Yeah, and like even though like he's not like the crazy post game guy that you'd want him to be, like he'll still give you a couple games a series where like he does take over.
Yep, yeah, for sure. I mean, he had 2 40-point games in his last series with Philly a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So, and he had a couple games against Dallas where he was like really taking it to them. I mean, one of the games that they won, I think the first game,
yeah,
yeah. Next, we're moving
on. Yeah, they shouldn't have brought Kawhi back, and they would have beaten Dallas. They'd be in the finals.
They would have been better off if they didn't bring Kawhi back. Yeah, actually, I don't know if they would have beaten Dallas, though.
They actually would have been better off. I was kind of joking.
At 38, we have Derek White, who I had at 37, Anthony had at 41, and Liam had at 36. What do you like about Derek White, Liam? What makes Derek White valuable to an
That's
NBA
That's crazy.
Team?
Honestly, you hated Derek
yeah,
White before.
I can't believe like you saying that. Like I can't believe I put him that high.
Yeah, you have him the highest of the three of us. There's a lot of players I can't believe you had as high as you did. What's your Derek White? What's your reason for taking him there?
Because he finally shaved his head and he unlocked his true powers. You know, like he's just a great player to have on your team. Like he's a fucking stuck.
He entered his Mamba mode.
Yeah. I mean, he's just like a 10 out of 10 role player at the two guard spot, right? Yeah, he's like the LeBron James of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. So that's like, he's just such a stout defender, super efficient from three.
Very unselfish, makes winning plays.
Yeah, makes winning plays. He never really gums up an offense. I wouldn't call him a great playmaker, but he is a ball mover, which is nice.
I feel like he just doesn't really do anything wrong.
He doesn't. He's very coachable. Love Derek White.
Also one of the best defenders. Perimeter defender
in the
league.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, that's his best trait, I would say. Even though his spot up three-point shooting is, I would even go as far as to say elite. I think his
best on the Celtics.
Yep.
According to last year.
Is he at spot up 3-point shooting? Did he have
was
a better
Sam, or at pure
is this Sam Hauser?
Was he the highest?
Sam Hauser's got to be the highest. I feel
I
like
you looked it up recently.
Shoot,
wasn't he the highest? Or at least in the playoffs.
Yeah, in the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah. At number 37, and shame on you guys for actually this is mostly on Liam, because I'm at 33 and Anthony had him at 36, but I'm at 40. Is Scotty Barnes? Honestly, should have been number one.
Well, no, that's next year's list.
Yeah, that's next year's list. Scotty,
he's still young.
Scotty Barnes is like a prototypical NBA build with like genuine, like serviceable offensive skills. His playmaking's high level. His 3-point shooting somehow got to a high level as well. Feels like on the defensive end. He's a little frustrating on the defensive end because he's just fine, but he has the build to be great.
Wait. I had Derek White over Scotty Barnes.
Yeah, I think you did.
Throw out the list. Throw out the list.
Yeah, you had
no shot.
You had Jalen Williams, James Harden, and Derek White over Scotty Barnes.
That's okay, actually.
That's just fucked up. It's just fucked up is what that is.
They're proven.
Yeah, Scotty Barnes, he's great. He's another guy who runs an offense in the NBA. Like, he's the guy. And I feel like once we get some actual pieces around him, he'll look even better. Because I feel like he looks good with good teammates.
Mm-hmm.
True. Very true.
He should be
point guard.
You guys know Scotty Barnes.
Wants to make him point guard.
I don't know Scotty Barnes. At number 36, we have Jrue Holiday. I had him at 39th. Anthony, I'm at 32nd. And Liam had him at 37th. So your Jrue Holiday thoughts.
So did you guys all have Derek White over him?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, wow.
That's fucked up. That's so fucked.
I had Derek White two spots ahead of him. Liam had him one spot ahead of him. And you had Jrue Holiday nine spots ahead of Derek White.
And this is why I need to have my own podcast. My own list. You see what's happening to my beautiful list that these guys keep fucking up? I mean, Jrue Holiday was like the third best player on the finals team twice. Like on a team that won a championship. Literally the best point guard. Player who plays point guard and defender in the league. Does basically everything Derek White does. But I just think the clutch moments for me is nine spots higher for sure.
Yeah, I just think that like he, in a way that I said Derek White is a ball mover, Jrue Holiday is very much a ball stopper. For a point guard, he's kind of not that good at playmaking. As I said, this is like, what, two spots below Derek White? Yeah, so really, I'm splitting hairs. Uh-huh.
You're speaking relatively.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah.
I just think that the three-point shot comes and goes a little too much for me. I think he's about as elite as you can get as a guard defensively in the league. But I think for like a star-level guard, he's one of the worst offensive players on this list, which makes sense because he's so good defensively. But I think he's kind of not serviceable offensively as a top-three option scoring-wise.
Yeah, I see like Derek White is more consistent too and like not needing the ball as much maybe and like like fitting into like a team system better. But like Jrue still like honestly like top three like player on two championship teams, like I should have I would have valued that a lot more.
Yeah, I mean KCP was a top five player on two championship teams and got zero votes from all of us.
Fair enough.
And his own team let him go. Yeah.
True.
Anyway.
But so was Danny Green.
Now we're on to can I get an alarm noise, Anthony? Can you give me an alarm? We got an insane Fitz pick. Insane Fitz pick. 36th.
We're going to be hearing that a lot.
36th on my list. 39th on Anthony's list. 27th on Fitz's list. Lowry Markkanen, who Liam Fitzpatrick.
The finisher.
Liam Fitzpatrick has one spot ahead of Zion Williamson. So what do you like about Lowry Markkanen?
He plays games for one.
Yeah, okay.
That's a fair point. He's a star on a team who did okay.
Okay is a relative term. I mean, like,
yeah,
like bottom 10 in the league is
he's big. Okay. He's a better Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, he's higher on this list than Brandon Ingram.
I had him one spot higher.
Yeah.
So based.
Yeah, I think I had him. Where did I have him? I had four spots higher. So yeah, we all agree here. You don't need to say that. We all agree.
I feel like he could be a great second option, like a KD. You know. Maybe even pull it up as MVP if he gets on the right team.
Facts. Like, to a good player, KD is the second option. Like, obviously on Golden State he's the first option, yeah. But like Westbrook is the first option on those OKC teams.
Like Lowry Markkanen. Lowry Markkanen's cool.
I like his game. I like his game a lot.
Yeah, because he's tall and he
and
does
he's
it.
Physical and he fucking, yeah.
He's tall and he likes shooting, like you.
How do you feel about a player who's like the superstar basically of his team, like twice as good probably as the second best player, and averages less than like 3 assists a game?
It's awesome.
And doesn't really.
That's awesome.
And is,
dude.
And is 7 feet tall and isn't strong enough to defend fours and fives, and definitely not mobile enough to defend 1-3.
Sounds like a guy who won a championship. Is he like Dirk at all?
Yeah, kind
of. His, yeah, I mean.
Worst shooter, better interior sure. guy.
He's like the Malachi Flynn of Dirk Nowitzki's.
He's like the Malachi Flynn in Summer League of Dirty Wins. Yeah.
In the offseason.
I mean, he's 35th, and that's really not far off of what me and Anthony had him on our list. This feels fairly feels fairly fair.
Yeah, I think it was a false alarm.
I don't know if it's a false alarm.
Do you right. He's 35th on our conglomerate list.
He's 27th. Here's the players directly after. Well, we'll get to them. I want you to remember 27th for Lowry Markkanen for Feds. Next, we have a player who... It's okay that Liam had Lowry Markkanen in front of this guy on his list.
Kawhi?
It's Rudy Gobert. Oh. Who was
34th. What are we at? 34 total?
Yeah. Okay. 34th on my list, so I'm the most based. You guys were way off. Anthony had him 35th, and Liam had him 33rd.
He ended up 34th. How does that happen?
Yeah, this is fucked. Rudy Gobert. Kind of an even further extent of what I was saying about Jrue Holiday, in that you can't get much more elite at rim protection, the center position, but he might actually, in this top 50, be the worst offensive player.
Yeah.
Unless I'm, like, really forgetting somebody. And he's, like, his offensive shortcomings, I feel like, are overinflated. No. He
has no hands.
Yeah, he has no hands.
He plays with eight fingers, bro.
Did you see the little hook shot that he hit?
Oh, yeah.
The one-handed little turnaround hook jumpy.
Oh, yeah. The fucking Kobe fade. Yeah. That was fucked.
But yeah.
Edward said that's how they knew they were going to win that game.
That's how everyone knew that.
Yeah,
Gobert, I mean, like, rim protection is awesome. And, like, you're just going to have, like, a top five defense in the league if he's on your team. Mm-hmm. And that's valuable. And that's why all of us have him around this spot at 34th.
Yeah, carried Quinn Snyder to people thinking he was a defensive guy.
Yeah, facts. That is big facts.
Mitchell's still higher, though, than Gobert?
It might be because of me. I think I have Mitchell real high.
I think I might, too, actually.
Oh, my God. Fitz, I have him really high.
Fitz, you are cranked. You have, like, you have Mitchell, like, 15 spots ahead of where you personally have Gobert.
That's crazy.
All right.
I have Mitchell exactly 20 spots higher than Gobert.
We are now on to number 33, and that is Pascal Siakam, who I had at 31, Anthony had at 34, and Liam had at 35. Pascal Siakam kind of had a bit of a renaissance in this year's playoffs. I thought he had a really nice playoff run and was a big, big reason of why they went to the conference finals. I would even personally say that he's slightly better than Haliburton in the run, and that's factoring in the fact that Haliburton missed games, which is, like, a big negative on, like, obviously how much you affect your team over a playoff run. If we're just talking about the first 45 minutes of the game, he's, like, maybe would sneak into the top 25 on this list. But he's one of the least clutch players on this list.
Yeah.
I mean, we just talked about Rudy Gobert, who's, like, less clutch than him, surely. But, like, Pascal Siakam, for players on this list, is not... we watched him take clutch shots for, like, 4 or 5 years.
Well, I mean, like, very few the, clutch most, memories. The most brutal that'll never change my opinion of him was when, like, Nick Nurse kept feeding him the ball against Boston. Like, that whole series, and he would, it felt like miss every single time down the stretch.
And when we lost to Philadelphia, and
in the first round?
In the first rounds, a couple years after that, where he was once again the guy. In game three, we were down 2-0 in that series. We lose in overtime that game, so it's very close. And in the second half and overtime combined, he goes 0-12.
Wow.
Just ridiculously unclutch playoff player. His stats going after that game, he was averaging like 13 a game on like 30, 15, 60 shooting, but then has really good games 4, 5, and 6. And so people don't remember how bad he was in that series, but it was way worse than the Boston series somehow.
True.
And like, yeah, he's just so unclutch. And I mean, like, we have him high on our list because, like, he just does so much on the floor. He's a high-level defender. He's a great playmaker, especially at the fourth spot. He can score inside. He can score from the mid-range. He's kind of got, like, a automatic little, like, mid-range game going. Great player. Deservedly 33rd.
Spicy P.
Spicy P, man.
At number 32, we're in the unclutch land right here. Because at number 32, we have Karl-Anthony Towns, who I had at 35, Anthony had at 28, and Liam had at 34. Let's hear your cat thoughts, Anthony. Your fellow Anthony.
Fellow Anthony. Like low-key, people were saying, like I was saying actually specifically, that Gobert's going to be a tough matchup for Jokic, but really it was Nas and Kat, like, in especially the last two games, like game 6 and 7, that like actually were like locking up Jokic, and that was like Kat's biggest weakness. And like he's like a legit shooter. Like we always talk about these stretch bigs like Miles Turner and like Jaren Jackson Jr. and stuff like that, who aren't really stretch bigs, but he is like a legit shooter. Step back three above 40%. He can drive. Like he's a fine rebounder. It's not like he's like a bad rebounder in any way. He just has like some moments where he really disappears, where I'm assuming is what you guys are factoring in to why he's so low. I don't know. Like he was very impressive to me last season, other than the finals.
Yeah, I mean,
Other than the conference finals, I should say.
I thought Jokic was a really good matchup for him, just because of the way that Jokic operates and the fact that they could have somebody lower down in Gobert. The reason that they didn't play Gobert on Jokic in that matchup is because, like, I mean, Jokic wasn't a shooter in that series. Maybe the furthest thing from it, but Aaron Gordon was somehow worse from three in that series. And so you play Gobert on him and you put him in the dunker spot, and then, like, he's not going to do shit. But yeah, I think my biggest problem with Towns is like when the going gets tough, like it seems like he's not in it for
it. He's got no dog in him, bro.
It's not as bad. He used to be maybe like one of the worst players in the league for that. It's gotten better in the past year since this became a good team with Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. But he just still has his moments. Like that Dallas series, he looked so bad.
Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah.
I can't see him like winning anything.
I mean, like maybe he could win something, but he's gonna.
But you think only as like a role player?
Yeah, I mean, like I just think you don't want him touching the ball as much as even he touches the ball now. I would almost want him more as more of a catch and shoot guy, and he can put the ball on the floor a bit. But I feel like he'd be more valuable leveraging that in more advantageous offensive matchups if he was a lower option for the team.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw him pretty high on my list. I mean, for all these players, even when we're saying bad stuff about him, like none of these players at this point are any of us super low on.
3-point champ.
Yeah, 3-point champ. Now we are moving to number 31, and that is Trae Young. I had him at 28, Anthony had him at 27, and Liam had him at 32.
You guys had him pretty high. Eh? Wow.
I mean, we had him 4 and 5 spots higher than you. But
yeah,
yes,
I know. Like I thought I was putting him higher, but
Okay. Yeah. He's like one of the most impossible players to evaluate.
He really is.
Like he like made a conference finals in his like third year, like before Luka did, which is like funny because they were traded for each other. But played no defense when he did that. Now plays a little bit of defense, and they got like DeJounte Murray with them, and then all of a sudden the team is terrible. Like it's just such a weird thing. But he's like has had multiple seasons where he's led the league in points and assists, like total, because like he plays a lot of games, which helps with that. But like, I don't know, it's just so hard to evaluate. Like statistically, he's so good, but like he had that impact that one run, which seemed like a little bit of a Cinderella run.
That was one of my favorite like storylines ever. I love watching that. He's like one of the most exciting players to watch in the playoffs
for sure. Yeah, I'd just like to say, we are officially out of the unclutch player zone.
Ice Trey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the reasons you ask why I have him higher, his uptick in defense last year did move me a little bit. Like, it's what? Because he used to be dreadful on defense, and now he's just bad.
Like, I would have said he's the worst. Yeah. I would have said literally the worst defender in the NBA.
Yeah, and now there's no shot. I think Anthony Simons is probably the worst statistically, and it feels
at least some of the players we know. Like, I'm sure there's, some 15th man who's,
Well, also, I think Grady Dick's just worse than Anthony Simons.
Right, exactly. That's true. That's true.
Trae Young, we talked about Sengun. Oh, he can run an offense, and Scotty Barnes, he can run an offense. Trae Young is prime.
Yeah, is the
prime James Harden, prime Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Jokic level of literally everything runs through him. Every single offensive possession, he's getting a touch, and not even just getting a touch, dribbling the ball a lot. Like he is.
Ends up pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he you talked about Mikal Bridges playing a ton of games. Like, this is another guy who plays a ton of games. Missed a bit of time last year, but that was kind of rare for him. He's like a really good pick to lead the league in points, total points and total assists every year, which is valuable. and why he's a top 30 player for me, but Fitz decides to ruin everything.
Wait, what number are we
I
at right now?
I can't believe that I was the lowest one to rate Trae Young. Like, I really thought you guys like would clown me for that. Like, as I was putting that in, I'm like... there are much worse things to clown.
There's
about,
clowning coming right on this next pick.
What number
should we get the alarm?
We're at number 30 for the next one. Can we get the alarm? At number 30, somebody who I took. Don't look at your list, Anthony, so you could be
okay.
You could be excited to hear this. I had him at 32. You had him at 33. Liam had him at 21, and that is Jamal Murray. What do you like about Jamal Murray that you have him one spot ahead of De'Aaron Fox and all two spots ahead of Paul George?
Honestly, Gage, I thought you'd have him, like, I thought you might have not made your top 15.
We were in lockstep on him, though. I mean, Fitz has him 12 spots higher than you and 11 spots higher than me.
I don't know. Like, I just feel like he was better than a lot of the other point guards that I was kind of looking at. And, like I like him more than Mitchell. I don't know if I put him more higher than Mitchell. But,
no, you didn't.
Okay, well, then I'm just dumb. But I don't know. I feel like he's a great player. He had a little shitty, he has shitty games, but, you know, he's Canadian. Love that as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like he's a great compliment to that team. He's a winning player.
Listen, man. I like Jamal Murray. He's Canadian and he plays for my favorite teams. You know? And I've come back to liking him again after hating him a little bit. You had him 10 spots ahead of Tyrese Maxey. And I'm just trying to wrap my brain around what universe that you live in that you think if you were to switch the team those two players were on, that like Denver wouldn't be better off.
I don't know.
He's clutch. I'll give you he's clutch. He hits clutch shots for sure.
Two buzzer beaters.
But like...
Mm-hmm. One series last year.
First of all... Yeah. This might be the last player on this list who has never made an All-Star game in his career.
Really?
Most of the guys that we're about to come up on are all NBA guys. Actually, there's one more player who's never made an All-Star game on this list, but he is the outlier of outliers. I like him. He's got some scoring juice. His defense isn't that good. He's not like a good playmaker for like a superstar point guard.
Doesn't need to be though.
No, he does not. But in the same way that Aaron Gordon has a lot of his problems hidden by Jokic, Jamal Murray gets a lot of his problems hidden
by
Jokic.
That's fair.
I like Jamal Murray, and I'm happy that you have him high. But yeah, that's one of the biggest discrepancies on this list. That's about it. That's all my hatred.
I like it.
The hatred in my heart right there.
I like that you're coming around.
I just like I don't know. I like
You're going to have to watch a lot of him.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. No, I'm back in. Yeah. I would, you know.
Is he a free agent next year and he doesn't have an extension?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think Denver's going to pull a KCP and let him walk and just have the Jokic. Yeah, Christian Brown can fill both KCP and Murray's spots. Christian Brown, by the way, who still hasn't been mentioned on this list yet, so we'll get to him eventually. At 29 now, we have Domantas Sabonis.
We're only at 29. We're almost 50 minutes in. Holy fuck.
Yeah, we're going to have to split this into two.
Okay, we can do that. I like that.
I had him at 27, Anthony had him at 31, and Liam had him at 24. Another guy that was kind of surprised that Liam had him the highest. What makes him a top 25 player for you?
Wait, Liam? Who are we talking about?
Domantas Sabonis.
Honestly, I don't like that guy. I don't know why. I don't like his game, but he's a bitch. But he's a great rebounder.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
very physical. One of the best, for sure. You know, he was a great player on a good team.
Yeah,
great is a bit of a stretch, okay, and good is also honestly a bit of a stretch.
A good player on a good team.
Yeah, okay.
Probably like second best player for sure.
I think he was all NBA. So I'm just straight up hating right now.
Yeah, I don't know. NBA, yeah, he's just a better Sengun, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's a reason that
I don't know if Gage said on the podcast before or just, like, to me, but if it were Pokemon evolutions, like, Sengun is, like, the first evolution, and Domantas Sabonis is the second evolution, and Nikola Jokic is the final. He's Charizard. Yeah.
Also, he gets fucking fantasy points.
Yeah. And he's, like, kind of a fun player to watch, because he, like... like runs the floor. Uh-huh. And it's not that he's that athletic, but he has like good ball control. So this guy's like pushing his body as hard as he can push like a 7-foot Lithuanian body down the floor. And it's really, that's one of the reasons that Sacramento is so much fun to watch.
He's the Jason Tatum Mason Plumlee's.
he's the Bronny James of Arvydas Sabonis's.
I'm his dad. Yeah, true.
Okay. At number 28 now, we have a player near and dear to my heart. I had him at 25, Liam had him at 25, and Anthony had him at 30, and that's Paolo Banchero. Paolo.
I love Paolo.
This is a guy who, this might be the lowest he is on this list for like the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. If his career goes the way it should go. I mean, you can say that basically about any player who's under 25, but he's like 21 probably, 22 coming into this season. I thought he was great all year. That Orlando team was a fun surprise. Yeah. Not surprising to me. Just kidding. I like still was surprised, even though I was high on them.
Yeah.
And then he was great in the playoffs. Like in the biggest moments, he looked really, really good. He's physical. He's a good shot creator. He's just like, you think about his like build and how much he's oversized, like, he's like a man. Mm-hmm. And he's like young. At his age, like. Yeah.
I feel like anyone who's like physical like that too is like translates really good into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean like
yeah.
It's funny because like Chet is really good and he went second in that draft and like it's Paolo's really still a no doubt that you take Paolo over him.
Yeah,
we'll see in the future because Chet has 1 year of development behind him. But yeah, like really really impressed with Paolo in his young career. That's all we have to say about him.
Yeah, also, like, the Magic, like, really don't have, like, that much. Like, I mean, like, I think they're better than the sum of their parts. But, like, they were a really good team. And, like, they really don't have the type of talent that, like, these other teams high up in the East do.
Yeah, I mean, they're a couple wins off of Cleveland. And, like, we're talking about having Wagner, Suggs, and Carter Jr. instead of having Mobley, Garland, and Allen as your running mates. So, very impressive team. Well coached, too. Mosley did a really good job with them. Next at 27 we have Bam Adebayo, who me and Anthony had at 29 and Liam had him at 20th. What do you like about him, Liam? I know that you're a big Miami Heat fan, so obviously
I might be a little biased on that. Like I don't know.
No, he's a top 30 player for sure. We all had him in our top 30.
Got selected for the USA team, you know,
for sure,
like every year that he's been available.
Gold medalist.
Yeah, great defensive player.
Yeah, I mean,
great in the mid-range.
Yeah.
Honestly, takes maybe a little too many mid-range shots.
For sure. I think that's also a problem with, like, I think Miami runs kind of a dumb offense and, like, a my turn, your turn offense. They don't really move the ball a lot. And that they might be a Jimmy Butler problem more than a him problem. But I think Bam Adebayo is the dictionary definition of versatile on both defense and on offense. That's a great word, he can basically do interior defense, he's got you.
Yeah.
Exterior defense, he's got you.
Kind of.
Yeah, for a center, he's amazing, though. He's elite at perimeter defense. He can comfortably guard 3 through 5s and can guard weaker 2s and 1s, even.
Yeah, I think versatile is a great word.
He's good on the interior. He can grab rebounds for his size. He can shoot the mid-range ball. Not a great three-point shooter. Can't actually stretch the floor that much, but he's kind of got that like weird stretches it enough that if you have enough shooting in the rest of your lineup, it doesn't hurt you that much because of his mid-range. I like Bam a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and he's the position you can afford to not stretch the ball on.
Our last player for this episode, because this will be halfway through our list, and then we'll cut to another one after this.
Okay.
Is Tyrese Maxey at 26th. I had him at 26th. Anthony had him at 21st, and Liam had him at 31st. So I had him at this spot, and you guys were 5 spots in either direction of me. So Anthony, you want to take the lead on this one then?
Okay. Literally is the only reason that series went to 6. Should have gone to 7 if Nick Nurse was able to get that timeout in earlier. But like this was almost karma making up for it. And that like literally one of the most clutch performances like I've seen in a long, long time. Like one of the fastest players in the league, and then also like an amazing shooter. That's just like a recipe for success. Like they basically lose James Harden for basically nothing, and it really didn't matter. Like this Philly team, people were just as scared of as any Philly team, at least going into it. Obviously Joel was hurt and stuff like that, but like at least midway through the year, people were like really feared this team, because of Tyrese Maxey. He if he either did make an All-Star team, if not, was right up there in the conversations. I believe he did make one, right, though?
Yeah, I think he did. And he was, like, one of the people whose name was brought up a lot for All-NBA, even though he didn't actually make it.
Yeah.
He was, like, just off the list. All-NBA fourth team.
All-NBA fourth.
With Jaylen Brown.
And yeah.
I don't know who else would be on
Finals
that team.
MVP.
Yeah. Fox, I think, was another guy who got brought up a lot. Yeah. But yeah, Maxey's great.
Just a nice, high-energy guy.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. And, like, it's crazy because, like, when he was the guy for a lot of this season, 40 games probably, for maybe even 45 games for this Philly team, you would think that, like, his 40% three-point shooting would, like, dip, like, a lot. And I thought that, like, he still looked great from three. And he's kind of a super stretcher in some ways, in that he can take shots from a few steps back as well. He can create his own shot from three. He's good when Embiid kicks it out to him for three. He can put real pressure on the rim with his speed. I think he's just really, really good. And I think he's another guy who's going to look better this year because of the of having Paul George around him, like an extra guy that other people have to worry about, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be a scary offense to deal with when all those guys are healthy.
He's gonna make my dreams literally come true.
Hopefully, that's we'll the dream. That. that's it for part one.
All right, we'll see you guys here in part two. We're just gonna quickly go and take about 10 shots each, and we'll see you guys in a moment. Bye. Can you end this recording? Like, why do you keep it going?